The Senate will come to order. Please stand for the prayer. I ask members today to pause in a moment of silent reflection. Thank you, members. Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic where it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Abler, Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bigham, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Coleman, Swazinski, Dames, Dibble, Dornick, Dreheim, Duckworth, Dietzick, Eaton, Eichhorn, Eakin, Fate, Frenz, Gazelka, Goggin, Herr, Hoffman, Housley, Howe, Ingebrigtsen, Isaacson, Jasinski, Johnson, Johnson, Stewart, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Klein, Coran, Kunisch, Lang, Latz, Limmer, Lopez, Franzen, Marty, Matthews, McEwen, Miller, Murphy, Nelson, Newman, Newton, Osmick, Pappas, Port, Pratt, Putnam, Rarick, Rest, Rosen, Rood, Senjum, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Utke, Weber, Westrum, Uyghur, Wickland.
Pursuant to Rule 14.1, the following members intend to vote under Rule 40.7. Senators Anderson, Bach, Benson, Champion, Clausen, Coleman, Dames, Dreheim, Duckworth, Eaton, Eichhorn, Fate, Frenz, Gazelka, Goggin, Herr, Housley, Howe, Ingebrigtsen, Isaacson, Lang, Latz, Limmer, Matthews, McEwen, Nelson, Newton, Port, Pratt, Putnam, Rood, Tomasoni, Utke, Weber, Westrum, and Wickland. The quorum is present. Members, beginning under the seventh order of business, second reading of House bills. The Secretary will read the House file numbers. Instead, starting under the eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. The bills on today's introduction calendar are given their first reading and referred as indicated with the exception of House Senate File 4556. That is being referred to the State Government, the Committee on State Government, Finance, and Policy and Elections. Moving to ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the 12-hour requirement of Joint Rule 2.06 be suspended as it relates to the Conference Committee report on Senate file number 2677, and I request a roll call vote, please.
Roll call is requested. Roll call granted. Any further discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on the motion. Calling Senator Jasinski to report members voting under Rule 40.7. Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Anderson votes aye.
Anderson votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Benson votes aye.
Benson votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Coleman votes aye.
Coleman votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Dames votes aye.
Dames votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Duckworth votes aye.
Duckworth votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Eichhorn votes aye.
Eichhorn votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Gazelka votes aye.
Gazelka votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Goggin votes aye.
Goggin votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Housley votes aye.
Housley votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Howe votes aye.
Howe votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Ingebrigtsen votes aye.
Ingebrigtsen votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Lang votes aye.
Lang votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Limmer votes aye.
Limmer votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Matthews votes aye.
Matthews votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Pratt votes aye.
Pratt votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Rood votes aye.
Rood votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Senjum votes aye.
Senjum votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Tomasoni votes aye.
Tomasoni votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Bach votes aye.
Bach votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Dreheim votes aye.
Dreheim votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Rosen votes aye.
Rosen votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Utke votes aye.
Utke votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Weber votes aye.
Weber votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Nelson votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Calling Senator Kunesh to report members voting under Rule 40.7. Senator Kunesh.
Mr. President, Senator Champion votes aye.
Champion votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Claussen votes aye.
Claussen votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Eaton votes aye.
Eaton votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Fattay votes no.
Fattay votes no. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Friends votes aye.
Friends votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Herr votes aye.
Herr votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Isaacson votes aye.
Isaacson votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Latz votes aye.
Latz votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator McEwen votes aye.
McEwen votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Newton votes aye.
Newton votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Port votes aye.
Port votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
And Senator Wicklin votes aye.
Wicklin votes aye.
And Senator Putnam also votes aye.
Putnam votes aye. All members having voted with the desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and one nay, the motion to suspend does prevail. Senator Rarick.
Thank you, Mr. President. On behalf of Senator Pratt, I move that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on Senate file 2677 be now adopted and that the bill be passed as amended by the conference committee.
Senator Rarick, to that motion.
Thank you, Mr. President and members, and I want to begin by thanking all the members and the staff, especially for all the patience yesterday as the conference committee was being put together, the report was being put together. It was a long day, but especially the conference committee members, even though it got late, we stayed very cordial with one another. We had a great discussion of the bill. We all got our points out. But it remained very professional, and I believe that's the way this place is meant to operate. So I want to thank every one of them for that. Members, this bill, I won't get too deep into it. We've discussed the vast majority of this on the floor before. I'll kind of get into the differences. So Article 1 is dealing with the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund replenishment. We are using the remainder of the ARPA funds, that is $2,324,175,000 to go to that. Then we are also using $405,825,000 of general fund money. We will first repay the federal government the debt that we owe. We'll then calculate the interest that is owed and pay that. And then the remainder will go into the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund to put it back to a level high enough where we kick off all of the special assessments on our employer's payroll tax. We as well reset that payroll tax limit to what it was pre-pandemic, holding true to our promise that we are not going to hold our businesses accountable for the shutdowns and all the employees who were on unemployment during the pandemic. There is one other little provision that is added that we did not have on the Senate floor when we did this. It is because we're so late into this. A number of businesses have already done their calculations and have made payments on the higher assessment. We are going to make sure that the agency works with them, and they can either get a credit or a refund of those extra monies they paid in. And for those who have not, were waiting to see what we did and have not made a payment, we also have in there that they will not be assessed any penalties by the department as we work on their new assessment, and they will have 30 days to work through that and get that paid. Article 2 is the piece for essential workers, and that was not in the bill as it passed off the Senate floor, but we did just have that discussion on the Senate floor earlier this week. So the amount for that is $500 million, up from the $250 that we had talked about on the Senate floor. And then the provisions for eligibility are the provisions that came from the other chamber. So if there are questions, we can go deeper into that in discussion, but I think we most of us already have had that. We know quite a bit about it. So, and then the last piece of the bill is, because of the idea that we spent down the ARPA funds, the administration wanted to make sure that there is still money available for COVID management. And so we have $190 million that is going into that the administration can use for testing and vaccination and outbreak response and management and other things that they are currently doing. And then there's some reforms to how that will be handled with the legislature. So members, I will stand for any questions. Again, I just want to thank all those involved and for all the patience from everyone yesterday as we work through this.
Discussion to Senate File 2677. See no further discussion. Senator Giffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I just think that it's also really important to recognize how much of a benefit this is to the employees, to the workers of the state of Minnesota. You hear about it from the framework of the businesses because they are the ones that pay into this benefit. But those who get the money that's been paid in by businesses are employees and workers. And this pandemic's effect would have been a great deal worse had it not been for having a healthy account paid into by our businesses. So I want to say thank you to them for their hard work and what they've done to pay in. I'm very grateful that this is going to be refilled so that should there be something in the future, that it will be there for them again. Thank you, Mr. President.
To the motion to adopt the conference committee report, seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion does prevail. The secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate file number 2677, a bill for an act relating to unemployment insurance.
Third reading. Final discussion. Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. I guess I just want to share just a brief comment about how I just feel the bill is out of balance. That we, of course, we support all the small businesses in our state, and we support the frontline workers, and this getting these checks out to them is long overdue, and it is a more generous amount than was agreed upon last summer. And I know that all our conferees worked very hard on this, but I do feel that providing $2.7 billion to the businesses in the state and only $500 million to the workers means that there really isn't the kind of proper balance that there should be in legislation like this. And we have the money, we have a surplus, we should be doing more for our frontline workers. Thank you.
Any further discussion before we close the bill? Senator Kunesh.
I just wanted to stand up and make a comment on the fact that we still are not allowing some of the people that really hold the fabric of our education system and allowing them to participate in the unemployment funding. And those are our part-time, full-time staffing that come in the fall, get our schools ready, prepare the programs and support the teachers as best they can. Those are the hourly workers who, when the pandemic hit, were instantly affected by the lack of hours and then the eventual having to close our schools. These are folks that depend on that money to pay their health insurance, to help pay their mortgage and support their families. And I know as an educator, and actually I was in the school in the time that the pandemic hit, I know personally how many of those hourly workers were in instant panic because they weren't able to access the unemployment insurance that so many of our workers are. And I've heard the argument that they know what they're getting into, they know it's only going to be those many months, but there are a lot of jobs that allow unemployment insurance support and assurance, and these folks did not. They were instantly out of a job and instantly scrambling to pay their bills and pay the rent and find a way to support their families. So while it didn't get into this bill at this time, and I know we have tried over the years, I'm hoping that in sometime soon, in some session soon, we are going to allow those folks to also enjoy the fruits of their labor and have the security of being able to access unemployment insurance should anything like this ever happen again. They participate, they contribute to our economy in so many ways, and without those hourly employees, especially in the educational system, we could not operate our school system. And it's the least that we can do to include them.
Senator Rust.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to express my support for this agreement, although, as some have already pointed out, it could be much better. But Senate Democrats, led by Melissa Lopez-Franzen and Susan Kent and Eric Putnam, have worked for months to double the amount, Senator Murphy, to double the amount that was going to be paid out to frontline workers, cut off at every point by those on the other side of the aisle in both bodies. But we prevailed, and the amount that's going out to these frontline workers has doubled. It's doubled. We passed the UI provisions out of this body months ago. Months ago. That was already done. That was a done deal. What was left is how we are going to regard the sacrifices through these I don't consider them bonus payments. They are indeed the hero payments that we should pass in order to show our respect for their sacrifice. So we worked for months, and last night they were adopted in the conference committee report. Those of us that were there from the Senate watching were, felt especially welcomed by our conferees, Senator Putnam and Senator Kent, but also by the House, the other bodies' conferees, and I'm proud to name them, Representative Knorr, Representative Frazier, Representative Greenman. They were able to put off a hostile amendment that said Well, if you're not a Minnesotan and you didn't, then you shouldn't get this payment, and that was rejected, because we know that a lot of people living along the borders came into Minnesota and helped us deal with the pandemic and the COVID crisis, and we recognize them as our as heroes as well. And so they too are going to be participants in the receiving these frontline worker payments. So I just want to let the body know how proud I am. How proud I am of the efforts in the House and among our colleagues here that they were able to double that amount from $250 million, that they were able to get reasonable, accurate, sympathetic, generous, whatever words you want to use, definition of who actually was making the sacrifices, including in this language. And no activity here is ever perfect, but this one deserves a green vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Abler.
Thank you, Mr. President, and happy Friday noon to everybody here. I'm glad I could be here just to celebrate this moment. It's hopefully there'll be a lot of celebrations like this time here where we can be happy that we were able to come to an agreement. It has been a really long couple of years for everybody affected by this bill, by the workers, the business owners who were unable to have the benefits of their work and had to watch their wares get dusty and obsolete and throw some away, and their families watch their friends get sick and then sometimes pass away. I just keep reminding myself of the context we're in here. And it's, hopefully it's a good idea the Feds decided to send us $73 billion. And it's nice there was a couple billion of those dollars left to put this this piece of legislation into action. And I have my main comment is coming in about 30 seconds, but I wanted, from my point of view, the $3.2 billion in this bill all went to workers. There is not one business that made money on this deal, not a percentage, not a markup. In fact, they had to keep paying out their money that they were paying all along, and in some cases, because it got delayed, they're actually paying extra, waiting to get that back. In my commitment in my business, we got a little payroll protection. I decided not to lay anybody off, even though we had like 50% less business for a good part of it. And I think there's a lot of businesses across the state that were like that aren't any big behemoths. You know, we're just a little LLC. And my town is full of them. And it's nice we can celebrate their generosity and their kindness and their commitment to not just their business, but to their families and to their communities and how they work so hard. So by my math, Mr. President, it's $3.2 billion to the workers, and in my opinion, very much deservedly so. As I watched the conference committee last night, some people did other things than watch the conference committee, but Mr. President, I just couldn't stay away. One of the comments that came up was about Article 3 of the bill with the governor's $190 million and how that money would be allocated. And some concern that a small number could actually block that spending. And I want to encourage members that it doesn't have to be that way at all. In fact, earlier this session, we passed some legislation that, or maybe last year it was, that we allowed the Commissioner of Human Services to make some significant changes in their operations through executive action. And we agreed when that passed that if any two of the four chairs who were working with that commissioner would disagree, that it would not go forward. What that provoked, Mr. President, which is what I hope it provokes out of this use of the $190 million, was a very high level of collaboration. And I want to remind members that Commissioner Harpstead made call after call to all four of us on dozens of occasions about what they were doing. And we kept very in close up-to-dateness. We were up to date on a frequent basis with this very hardworking commissioner. And with that, we never said no. Even only two of us could have blocked it. So I want to commend everybody who's working on this. I know there's a lot of thoughts about it, but I think it's proof, Mr. President and members, that we actually can get something really hard done, and we can look at the good of Minnesota, and I'm happy to be voting yes for that today, and I thank all the people that worked on this. Thank you.
Senator Swadzinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to say a couple quick things. One, this is a reminder for all of us that COVID is still with us, and I think the pandemic that we started going through 2 years ago, I don't know when we're going to finally pay the final bill, so to speak, on this pandemic, but it's a bummer that we're still going through this horrific issue. But on a more positive note, I think students that are up there right now visiting today and all the civics classes in the state of Minnesota in the coming years, I think they will be studying this bill as a classic example of how a bill becomes a law 101 in divided government. And I think the students that study this bill will go, wow, Minnesota works. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any final comments before we close the bill? Senator Kent.
Thank you, Mr. President. I had the privilege of serving on the conference committee to finalize this bill. And I am grateful for Senator Putnam, who's not with us today, but also served on it, and particularly to Senator Rarick for good open communications as we tried to work through an unpredictable process. And certainly to all the staff, nonpartisan and the partisan staff who work hard every day. I wish people across Minnesota could know how hard the workers of the Minnesota Senate give and how much they give to the people of Minnesota, and it was something to behold last night. A few comments about the bill, because as I appreciate the comments that, yes, we do have a lot to celebrate that we're getting this done, but that celebration in my mind is tempered a little bit in a few ways. First of all, the unemployment insurance, a strong bipartisan support for that. We finally got this done. I share the disappointment that we were not able to include the school workers in that. Folks, our schools are struggling in these very areas of the work that these people do. They are not highly paid, it is hard work, and they're having other opportunities that when they no longer work for our districts during the summer, they may take another job and not come back. And our districts are already struggling with school bus drivers and the folks who serve lunch and the folks who take care of our kids in so many different ways. And I think we need to make sure that we continue working on that this session. I know it is in the jobs bill in the House, and so hopefully we can continue that, because this isn't just about being nice and generous to these folks. This is about our school systems, because we rely on them for our kids. So I hope we can do that. The hero payments, as Senator Ress referred to them, the frontline workers. I am so glad we were able to do that. This is where it's bittersweet, because they've had to wait too long. We had a deadline of September 9th to get this done. September 9th, 2021, to get this done, and we didn't do it. I'm proud that we are able to do this. These are folks who worked hard, they earned it, they deserve it. I think about that time. I think it's important that we remember what things were like in March and April and May of 2020. There was so much uncertainty. There was this new disease that scientists and medical professionals were just beginning to learn about and understand and being able to treat patients. And it was scary. We were watching what was happening in places like New York City and Italy and worrying what the effects would be when the disease really might take hold in Minnesota. And we worked hard to provide some tools here in the Minnesota legislature. But then we would go home, and I remember going to the grocery store in my own community and seeing the people that I've known so long, and they were there in their cloth masks. And I worried about them because we didn't know. And we didn't know how long this would last. And boy, I don't think any of us thought we'd still be here 2 years later having this conversation. But they earned it. And we need to make sure, and I'm so proud, that we were able to more than double the number of workers who will be able to receive this benefit, and they were able to double the total overall amount allocated. But we could have done this. We blocked this. Senate Republicans blocked this twice in the past couple of months. But bottom line, 667,000 Minnesotans and their families will get a benefit from this. And then the other part of this that we need to remember, because to Senator Swedzinski's point, we are still in the middle of COVID. This is still going on. We're still struggling with it. We're in high transmission rates here right now. And this is something that is going to be evolving, and we have to be prepared to deal with. But I'm glad that we were able to allocate the $190 million to the administration so that they can maintain, during the interim, until this legislature comes back in session next spring, they can maintain the important testing and vaccines and everything that is prepares us to be able to ramp up if we need to, if things turn bad. But the last thing I want to talk about is the process and how we got here. And I know people's eyes glaze over when we talk about process, but I will always say this. Process doesn't matter to me. It matters to the 80,000 people I represent. It doesn't matter to the 67 of us. It matters to the people of Minnesota, because that is how they are sure that we are doing our job well, that we are doing our job effectively, thoroughly, carefully, and transparently. And I want to say that as glad as we are to be here today, that failed in this case. Again, we had a September 9th deadline for frontline workers. We passed on a strong bipartisan support unemployment insurance on February 15th. This deal that we are passing today, we knew what that deal was on February 16th. We saw the outlines of this deal on February 16th. But there was an unwillingness to compromise, to talk about who should receive this benefit and how much it should be. And so here we are, 2.5 months later, finally getting it done. That aspect of this, I think, is a disappointment and a real letting down of the people of Minnesota. Yesterday, we heard from the Senate Republican leader, first thing in the morning, in the media, that a deal had been struck. Well, certainly in the minority caucus, that was news to us, because that wasn't communicated to any of us. And by the way, we know that technically our votes are needed to suspend the rules to make this stuff happen in an expedited way. It would be common courtesy to communicate with us. It would be respectful of the 80,000 people that each of us, which is really roughly half of Minnesota, if we were included in those conversations and kept really up to date, if our votes are expected to help make these things happen. But we're here to do the work for the people of Minnesota, and we're here doing it today. The other thing is, because of the timing and the way this was announced yesterday, and it was a deal really only in principle, and we know in this place, that means there's still a lot of details that have to be worked out, and that doesn't ever happen fast. And we can't just throw it together and pass it. We need to make sure it's accurate, because this is becoming law. And so it took all day. We finally saw some language at 4:30 in the afternoon after the deal was announced at 8 o'clock or whatever in the morning. We finally got the conference committee started at 8:15, so literally in the dark of night, we were seeing some issues and hearing some questions, good questions, brought up by both bodies and both parties in the dark of night, without the resources to really answer them, without the time to answer and consider them, not the optimum way that we should be doing things. And finally, we've had some discussion about this. The Legislative COVID Response Commission that will be used to make the decisions about this $190 million for the administration. I do believe that, and this gets so in the weeds, so I'm not going to spend much time on it, but changing an or to an and, no, an and to an or, sorry, was up late. It really does fundamentally change some balance here. And I don't believe that in the nature of this type of decision making, that is reflective and of the will of the people. When you have a governor who has been elected by the people of Minnesota, when you have a legislature with two chambers that have been elected by the people of Minnesota, I believe the original process better reflects the weight of the American and Minnesota system of checks and balances and our government. And I think this was a failure of democracy, and it represents a failure to govern, and it represents a real push for power in a way that it misserves the people of Minnesota. But ultimately, we got this done. We did prevent, we did hang in there and keep fighting till the bitter end. And here we are today. And finally, our businesses and our frontline workers have some comfort in knowing that we believe in them, we appreciate them, we are so grateful for everything that they have done through for us through these past difficult, historic years. And so I am glad we have finally gotten to this point. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, President Asmik, and good morning, colleagues. I am happy that we are here today for many reasons, but also want to be honest, as I have pledged to be, that this is a bittersweet morning for me as we take this important step to fulfill our commitment for frontline workers, something that I started working on with Representative Cedric Frazier at the beginning of 2021 when I was a brand new member of this body. The bill that was originally introduced at the start of 2021 was meant to replace lost wages and restore lost time for the essential workers who were going into work every day to keep us alive and healthy. And who had, because of COVID, gotten sick themselves or their family members got sick and they had to use their own leave time or they lost pay because they had no leave time in order to quarantine, take care of themselves or their family members. That was the original intent of the legislation that was introduced. And the employers, those who were not covered by a federal language that was adopted to protect employers and employees at the start of COVID, just were unwilling to come to the table at all on this piece of legislation, nor was the Senate majority willing at all to deal with that piece of legislation. Even though there was funding available in the form of federal tax credits, we just could not get that issue started in this body, past the House, but we couldn't get it started. And so because of a very, very persistent group of Minnesotans who had worked on the front lines and their persistence in showing up to the Capitol and arguing, showing up and telling their stories, showing up and persisting, at the end of last session, you'll recall that there was an agreement, both chambers, Democrats and Republicans, that frontline workers would receive hero pay, hazard pay, bonus checks, frontline worker checks. We set aside $250 million for that and set up a working group that were charged with the work of figuring out who and how that money would be distributed. We did work all summer. We were back able to meet in person again, which was nice. There were members of this body and in the House and from the administration, nine of us that did that work together. And in September, that came apart as well because there were three members of the working group who did not agree, and three of the nine members who did not agree was able to scuttle the entire body of work. That was where the three, unfortunately, the three Republicans who served on that working group. And so while there was a deadline for us to complete our work and to answer the question for frontline workers, instead we did nothing. And the frontline workers continued to wait on our commitment, a commitment that we made right here in this body in June of 2021. They continued to raise their voices. They continued to mobilize and organize, having faith that in the end, the commitment that we made in both bodies and with the administration would hold. And here we are now in April of 2022, finally finally taking action. Despite the obstruction and the empty promises that for a long time were the voice of our GOP majority. I want to say how proud I am of my DFL colleagues in this DFL caucus for their unwavering support for frontline workers. I know some thought this was the only issue that I was working on and probably grew tired of my talking about it, but I am grateful for that unwavering support and know that we are here today because of that unwavering support, that undying commitment that when we give our word in this body, that we will uphold that and fulfill that commitment. And that this body said the work of frontline workers mattered, that they took risks, that they were required to go to work. That kept us healthy and safe and our economy moving. And one of the reasons we have the surplus we have today is because of that important work. I'm grateful to my DFL colleagues for their continued support of that. This legislation that we're debating this morning, this agreement, is long, long overdue, and I will say that we have paid a significant price to get here when we think about the things that have come before it. You'll recall the issues that we have already completed this session, $700 million in reinsurance to health insurance companies was a priority before frontline workers. An $8 billion budget-busting tax bill that favors the wealthy over workers was a priority ahead of frontline workers. And attached to this proposal, of course, is the $2.7 billion, some of which is a tax cut for our corporations, many who profited significantly during the pandemic. Those were all priorities for the Republican majority ahead of the commitment that we made to frontline workers. And in fact, I think that it is only because of the unending persistence of those workers who were not going to stop saying, you made a commitment to us, that this provision of $500 million for frontline workers is actually included in this today. And I want to thank those workers. You shouldn't have had to work so hard to make this happen. We called you heroes. You shouldn't have had to work so hard to make this happen, but I recognize and see what you have done, and I am grateful for it. I also often wondered at the start of the session when we passed the $2.7 billion in unemployment insurance, if maybe we needed to give a guided capital tour to the majority leader so he could understand where the compromise actually existed. That didn't happen, but here we are now today, so there is a reason. There are a couple of things that have already been mentioned, so I will not go deeply into them, but Article 3, the provision, the LCRC, and what was agreed to in that really does silence the minority if the majority chooses to do that. It doesn't belong in this bill. It is, I think, a dangerous precedent. It is something that concerns me greatly about the legislature and this institution. Because we have seen ourselves move away from cooperation, we've seen ourselves move away from collaboration, and we have seen more and more often the will of the majority suppressing the will of the minority, and that's not right in a democratic institution. And while this is a small provision, it represents the silencing of the minority, and that's trouble. That seasonal school employees were left out of this agreement is a real disservice to unlicensed school workers, and I think we will pay a price for it if we don't finish it this session. School bus drivers, people who work in our cafeterias, there are unlicensed school employees, and when they're done with their work this year in their schools, they probably will find a job that pays them better. So if we don't figure out how to include them in unemployment insurance, we will likely have shortages. Like we're having workplace shortages all over. And if our kids can't go to school next fall because they can't catch the bus, we can look at ourselves and say we should have done better. We should finish this work. We should finish this provision before this session is done. And I just want the body to know that I am committed to that, and I hope you'll join me in that fight. This morning, Registered nurses got up, they put on their uniforms, and they went to work to take care of patients in hospitals. This morning, teachers took their lunches to the classroom, and along with ESPs, are teaching our kids. This morning, people who work in nursing homes reported in assisted living facilities and group homes to do their work. This morning, people who take care of our children are doing that important work. Meat cutters are back to work. The people in our courts are back to work. Those are the people who kept us alive and well. And when we think about the work that they do, we know now that those critical infrastructure positions are weak. We know that they have paid a price. We know that they're leaving those jobs because of what they've experienced for the last 2 years. And so before I close, I think it is important for us to recognize that this cannot be our last work for workers, that we need to increase worker wages. We need to improve workplace safety in order to make sure that we retain the workforce important to us and important to Minnesotans going forward. President Osmak and members, I appreciate your indulgence as I recap where we have been. Like most things, this is a compromise. It isn't balanced. The workers who did so much for us have had to wait far too long. Far too long. And this contains provisions that don't belong in the bill. I'm really grateful for the frontline workers and all they've done. The $750 that they are going to get from this deal is important to them. Thank you, Mr. President.
On behalf of the bill author, Senator Pratt, Senator Rarick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this is a long time coming. I think we can agree to that, and I appreciate Senator Swodzinski's point. This is a divided government, and sometimes the public looks at us and wonders, why does it take so long, and why does it take till the last hour to get it done? But as I said in our conference committee, we hashed it out. We talked about it, we brought up all our points so that the public could understand where we came from, how we got to this agreement. And that's important, and I, again, appreciate that work. I do wish we could get it done more quickly. But I know there's been talk about the promises that were made and supposed to be done by September 9th, but a year ago, March, Senator Pratt and I were sounding the whistle that is when the calculations are done for the UI payroll tax. We knew back then, over a year ago, what was coming. We had asked last year when we had a smaller surplus for $600 million to go into the UI to help with that. It didn't happen. Our businesses have watched this and have been waiting and waiting just as long. And when we look, to me, the mistake that was made by the federal government when they gave the $600 bonuses. We have a great UI program in the state of Minnesota that was taking care of people. Could they have used a little bump? Absolutely. But with the federal money and the state money, $14.8 billion has gone out through UI to workers. Not to businesses, to workers. So as we talk about this disparity in the bill, think about that, members. The only reason it's not bigger is because employers continued to pay in to that account throughout the entire pandemic. That's why we didn't have to borrow more from the federal government than we did. Businesses have paid in all the way along. So let's be honest when we talk about what's been happening here. I also appreciate that we increased the amount to the frontline workers. But again, when we go back, the extra $600 a week that went to the people who run employed, I work in the construction industry, And I heard repeatedly from people on the job, I'm going to work every single day, and they're making more than I am. But yet, they went to work every day. And the bill that we passed off the Senate floor, we identified a group of people who worked firsthand at the bedside with people taking care of them, saying you were at more risk than anyone else. And we really, really appreciate that. And a lot of other people that are now in this bill, they did great work too. But what about the people who work at our electric utilities that kept the power on every day? They're not in this bill. What about the people who drove the milk trucks to the farms to collect the milk and bring it in? They're not in this bill. What about the construction workers who went to work every single day? They're the ones who stopped at the convenience stores. They're not in this bill. Members, there's nothing we could have done to make this bill perfect for everyone. We're still going to be hearing from people, why am I not included? I think the bill we had in the Senate drew that line very well. These were the people who took care of the most vulnerable, who absolutely needed it. They're the ones who deserved that thank you. We've created animosity between neighbors, I believe, with this, but I'm still glad we're doing it. And when we talk about the reforms to the LCRC, members, that's the way government is supposed to work. This is not about, the way that happens is not about the voice of the majority or the minority, it's about the voice of the two chambers. Each chamber should have an equal say in what happens. And the way government is set up, it takes an affirmative action of both chambers and then the executive branch to get something done. Senator Rest spoke about it earlier. An amendment that was offered in conference committee was rejected because the majority in one body didn't want. And actually, we had a couple of amendments that happened that way. But that's the way it's supposed to work. You have to have the affirmative action of the majority in both chambers in order for it to move forward. That's the way we do it with every bill on the floor. Why would we not do it the same way with this? That's the way government is supposed to work. Members, I could go on. I'm not going to. I want to thank Senator Pratt. You know, this is his bill. He has worked a ton on it, but he has included me every step of the way, and I so much appreciate that. It's something I care a lot about, and I hear about it every day when I'm at work outside of this place. And this is so important. Again, replenishing this UI, we keep talking that it's saving our businesses what they're going to pay on their payroll tax, but it's also replenishing the account so the money is there so when an employee gets laid off, they will be receiving the benefit that they need. So this UI works both ways, what we're doing here today. It helps our employers and our employees. So members, I strongly encourage a green vote on this bill. It took a long time. It's probably happening later than it should. But together we did get here, we got it done, and we should be very happy to get it done. And I don't know that we should be taking any victory laps, but we're doing the work that we're supposed to be doing. Thank you.
Senator Lopez Bradson.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. For the past 2 years, every Minnesotan has been impacted by this pandemic. Every family, every community, and businesses has been hit hard by this unpredictable and deadly pandemic that has taken thousands of lives of Minnesotans and Americans in our country. It's stolen millions of jobs, and it's stretched our frontline workers and our businesses and our schools as well as our health and long-term care and our child care systems, to a brink. Today, after far too long, which has been mentioned a few times on this chamber today, after far too long, many broken promises and missed deadlines, we are addressing some of the economic fallout that has devastated people and businesses across our state. And as a business owner myself, I have seen it firsthand. And as a lawmaker, I've been frustrated, very frustrated, at how long it has taken. And it's not perfect. It will never be. It's a compromise. And I'm glad we all fought hard for what we believed should be included here and was acceptable to get it to the finish line. We've heard all over Minnesota struggling to keep up financially, to keep their children safe in school, and deal with the ever-changing work and business environment, because it still is ever-changing. And although we've come through many difficulties and we still have quite a lot of work to do to get our state back on its feet, I'm proud that we got to this point. Through it all, our frontline workers have been heroes. Under trying circumstances, they put their own health and safety and that of their families, and sometimes even their own lives. They put their own lives on the line to keep our state running. They provided health care when we've needed it. They kept older Minnesotans safe in long-term care facilities. They've kept the grocery stocked and retail stores open and kept the public transportation running. And importantly, they provided the safe childcare that has allowed the families to get back to work and the businesses to stay open. And in short, without their sacrifice and that of the frontline workers, the health and economic crisis caused by this pandemic could have been much worse across our state. And they deserve our thank you. And today, we're able to thank them. Members, you all know that we've made a commitment to thank them last year. We passed that as a compromise. We weren't able to provide those checks until now, much, much later. And since then, DFLers have traveled around the state, led by Senator Murphy and many of our colleagues, to hear the stories from these workers in Rochester, in St. Cloud, in Duluth, in Moorhead, and across the metro area. We've heard them when they came to the Capitol last month to tell us wrenching stories of what they and their families have been through. Many have lost their jobs, their health, and sometimes a loved one. That's why twice on this Senate floor, DFLers have pushed the Republican majority to pass the worker bonuses. That's why we've been so frustrated when we've been blocked every single time. But today we have better news. Today we are putting the money into the pockets that they deserve and they have earned. And although DFLers wanted to do more, we are sending them twice the amount of money that we had agreed to last year, and we are expanding the number of workers. So we can't say we haven't done enough. We can always do more, but we fought for those increases when our Senate Republican majorities wanted to limit them. So I want to say thank you to Senator Murphy. Thank you for your steadfast efforts for over a year on behalf of our frontline workers. And to all the members on our side who have worked so hard alongside of you in this long process, thank you, Senator Kent and Senator Putnam, for your work from last night until today to get this wrapped up, to bring important issues of this bill. And as Minnesotans talk about, this is two pieces, frontline workers and unemployment insurance, but we also talk about the third piece of the slow erosion of the voice of some of the members of our legislature by the change made to the LCRC process. On the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund piece, I and many of our DFL members, including the governor and members of the House, have supported this bipartisan effort to replenish it. We understand the need for it. During the darkest days of the pandemic, this unemployment insurance benefit helped many families stay afloat and avoid economic disaster. But as a business owner myself, I also know that providing a safety net is expensive. And today we replenish the Unemployment Insurance Trust Fund. We also take steps to prevent tax increases on Minnesota businesses who have been through a lot these past 2 years. So members, this hard-fought agreement isn't perfect, but it signals that our state is willing to help our citizens in the time of economic and health crisis when they needed it the most. And it also shows there's much compromise to be had in the next few weeks of session. So members, because this bill does so much for Minnesotans, I urge a yes vote, and I hope to send a message to workers and businesses that we understand the sacrifices, and then when we come together, we can get things done. But that needs to include all voices. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. It is another great day for the people of Minnesota. Members, this conference committee report is yet another example of Democrats and Republicans in the House and the Senate and the governor's office working together to get good things done, not good things, to get great things done for the people of Minnesota. And members, that's what we're here to do. That's exactly what we're here to do. This bill provides meaningful bonuses to the frontline workers who took incredible risks during the pandemic. And not only did we fulfill our commitment, we doubled it. We doubled our commitment to those frontline workers. This bill fully refills the unemployment trust fund. And what is the unemployment trust fund? It is a safety net for workers who get laid off during difficult times that's paid for by the businesses. We fully refill the unemployment trust fund in this bill. And members, this bill provides more legislative oversight. This bill encourages the administration to work together with the legislature, to work together with the House and the Senate. And it just baffles me that some of the members in this chamber are opposed to that. And contrary to some of the highly partisan and in some cases completely false statements that we heard from some of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle today, members, actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. Let's get this done for the people of Minnesota, and let's see how strong those actions are by putting up a strong bipartisan vote to get this done for the people of the state of Minnesota.
Secretary will take the roll on final passage of Senate File 2677. I call on Senator Jasinski to report members voting under Rule 40.7. Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Anderson votes aye.
Anderson votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Benson votes aye.
Benson votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Coleman votes aye.
Coleman votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Dames votes aye.
Dames votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Eichhorn votes aye.
Eichhorn votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Gazelka votes aye.
Gazelka votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Goggin votes aye.
Goggin votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Housley votes aye.
Housley votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Howe votes aye.
Howe votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Ingebrigtsen votes aye.
Ingebrigtsen votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Lange votes aye.
Lange votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Limmer votes aye.
Limmer votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Matthews votes aye.
Matthews votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Pratt votes aye.
Pratt votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Rood votes aye.
Rood votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Westrom votes aye.
Westrom votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Senjum votes aye.
Senjum votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Tomasoni votes aye.
Tomasoni votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Bach votes aye.
Bach votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Dreheim votes aye.
Dreheim votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Nelson votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Rosen votes aye.
Rosen votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Utke votes aye.
Utke votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Weber votes aye.
Weber votes aye. Call on Senator Kunesh to report members voting under Rule 40.7. Senator Kunesh.
Mr. President, Senator Champion votes aye.
Champion votes aye. Senator Jasinski.
Senator Claussen votes
Senator
aye.
Senator Kunesh. Sorry, what? Senator Kunesh. Claussen votes aye. Senator Kunesh. I called you Senator Jasinski. Senator Kunesh.
It's catchy. Senator Eaton votes aye.
Eaton votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Fattah votes no.
Senator Fattah votes no. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Friends votes aye.
Friends votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Herr votes aye.
Herr votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Isaacson votes aye.
Isaacson votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Latz votes aye.
Latz votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator McEwen votes aye.
McEwen votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Newton votes aye.
Newton votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Port votes aye.
Port votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
Senator Putnam votes aye.
Putnam votes aye. Senator Kunesh.
And Senator Wicklin votes aye.
And Wicklin votes aye. All members having voted who with the desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 65 ayes and one nay, Senate File 2677 does pass and its title agreed to. Moving to the 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Dibble all day, Senator Westrom noon to 12:20. Any further announcements? Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. President, members. I move that the Senate do now adjourn until Monday, May 2nd at 11 a.m.
To that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion does prevail. Senate is adjourned.